Very good morning, everyone. Let's wave our hands. Yeah, I almost thought I want to bring up the national flag, you know, since National Day is coming, right? Yeah, and also those who are watching online, right? Shalom to you, and happy National Day to all of you, right? How many of you feel blessed, you know, to be in Singapore? I felt very blessed, right? Despite all the COVID situation, I really felt the hands of God is really upon us, you know, watching over the nation. Yeah, we are still going through some challenges. You know, we are facing some challenges, and also we are receiving, you know, people are struggling. But through the days, you know, the Friday prayer, the day of His power prayer, right? I was there and I just felt the presence of God with us, with our leaders. As I see how our leaders in unity praying for the nation, I felt the presence of God there. I don't know about you, those who were there, do you feel the presence of God? Yeah, I really felt the presence of God. And I thought this year it was very, very well done. I think we should take this time to thank the team by working very hard behind. And by the way, our worship team, our social media team, they also work very hard to make this possible. Yeah. So shall we just give a thanks, all right, to all those who prepare this food for us? All right, we are watching. All right, we want to thank you for all the hard work as well. And also to all the leaders who pray for this nation. Yeah. You know, we are in the series of Christ and culture. And we'll be looking at truth, justice, and mercy today. I never know this topic is not easy to prepare until I try to prepare. But I do my best, okay? So have mercy on me, yeah? But let's turn to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 4 to 10. Turn with me to Zechariah 7, verse 4 to 10. Or you can see the scripture on the screen. It says, Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me, when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourself? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosper, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brothers and sisters. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." So is it wrong to fast and pray? We just have our fast and pray. But is it wrong to fast and pray? Of course, no. But the scripture tells us that the people of God, they were fasting and pray. They were doing all the right things, what the church should do. Make sure the online service is ready. Make sure the registration is open. The procedure for check-in, check-out, everything is done in order. Ensure the programs are doing well. And everything runs smoothly. But they miss the main thing. They miss the most important thing. And Zechariah says, is to love your neighbors. To show mercy and compassion. Especially to the poor and those who are suffering. So, this, you know, does that mean that they do not know what is going on? No, I think the people know what is going on because they live there, they live in the community. They can see every day what is going on around the people. They could see. The problem is they see and they do nothing. They didn't help. Maybe I was thinking, maybe they don't know how to help, it's too complicated. Or maybe they couldn't help because they've forgotten of what it's like to be poor. They've forgotten the pain of someone who is suffering. So because they are not able to feel that pain, maybe that's the reason of why they are not stepping in to help. I'm sure you heard the news recently concerning a student attempted to jump at the MRT station. And of course, the shocking news that shocked many of us of what had happened at River High Secondary School. I used to hear many stories, heartbreaking stories and news from students when I was a chaplain, the struggles in the families. I remember one boy shared with me this, is about how the parents treated him like a basketball because none of the parents wanted to keep him. And of course, the news lately also tell us that mental health issues is rising, has become the hot topic of the news. And more people, adults and children, are feeling more stressful, more anxious because of the challenges they are facing today, because of the difficulties they are going through today. And we can see that in our society, it's not perfect. We can see many problems every day, all right, in our day-to-day life. I wonder how you feel when you look at all this news. I wonder what was at the back of your mind when you look at all these things. Of course, maybe the first thing we will see, then whose fault is this? Should we blame the government? Should we blame the MOE? Or should we blame the parents for not doing their job? But it's not easy to be a parent until you learn how to be a parent. And neither is easy to run an organization until you try to run an organization. So it's very easy when in the moment there's purge, the our tendency is to find whose fault is this? Whose fault is this? Our tendency is to put someone and to be responsible for it. But I want to share with us, I think the most important thing for us to do as we look at all these things is not just to find out who should be responsible for it. Maybe what God is saying to us is to pray and begin to pray for the people who are suffering. Begin to pray for the people who are going through the difficult time. Pray for our people, pray for our community, and pray for our society. Maybe there's something that God is saying to us today. And I just felt at this point, why don't we just take a minute where you are sitting and to put our burden into action, shall we? Just take a minute and to pray for those who are suffering today. Or maybe some of the people that you know today, they are going through a difficult time. Why don't you just take a minute and pray for them? Is it all right? Is it okay? Just take a minute to do that, shall we? Take a minute to pray. And also those who are online, all right, you can pray along with us. Father, we want to remember, Lord, those who are suffering and all the news they're receiving lately. Lord, we commit them into your hands. We pray that, Lord, those who are going through challenges and difficult times, whether it's at home, in our relationship with our spouse, relationship with our children, or the youth who are going through challenges in school because of their results, peer pressures, the stress and the mental, you know, tiredness that many of us are going through. Father, you know who are they. We want to commit them into your hands. Father, may your peace, your love, and your grace be upon each one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to share with us that what we are seeing today, all the social problems that we are going through today, is much, much deeper than that. It's not something that happened yesterday. It's not something that happened suddenly. You know, it is, in fact, as the scripture said to us this morning, it was already there since Zechariah's time. This problem is not something new. Since Zechariah's time, they are facing this problem. The social problem they are facing is much more complicated. It's much more bigger. I don't think that any one of us can come up with any perfect solutions to try to solve it. But at least I feel it is for us to know that where did it come from? Why is it like that? What is the root of today's problem? And what is God's solution for us? Many people are coming up with ideas and try to you know, make our society better. And for example, National Associations of Social Workers, they say that they believe the root cause of our social problem is because everyone does not receive equal economy, political and social rights and opportunities. Well, they have your points there. But as I read that, my question is it possible? Is it possible for everyone to have equal in everything? It sounds good, it sounds right. But in reality, personally, I feel it's impossible to achieve. Because humans by nature are selfish beings. That will be our first challenge that we have to face. I was reading this from someone that says, you know, it's easy, all right, to cry out for justice when you see our friends or our loved ones have been mistreated, unless you realize you are the one who is doing the mistreating. Okay, yeah, I think it's quite true, right? I mean, it's always easy to fight for people until actually you are the one, all right, need to give up something in order to make things better. Anthony Kennedy, the Supreme Court Justice, all right, the judge that says, give everyone the rights to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. So give everyone, all right, define their own meaning of life, right, for example. Now I agree, everyone should be treated with dignity and respect. Everyone should be given the same opportunity to live their full potential as intended by God. But to allow each person a law unto himself or herself without a common justice system, I have questions. And I've questioned whether will it really work. If everyone has their own definition of what is right, what is wrong, without a common justice system. My conviction is that such approach will only create more chaos, divisions, problems in our society. But we must also understand that those people who are coming up ideas, they probably have good intention. But we also must understand that they are coming from the angle where God does not exist. So they are not looking at our present problems from the point of God. They are looking at our present problem with their own view, their own experience. So they're coming from an angle where God does not exist, God does not care, and maybe God is not just. So because they don't believe God exists, they don't believe God's care, they don't believe God is just, therefore, the conclusion is, I have to do my way out. But if it works, it will have worked long, long ago. You cannot say, if this worked, it will have worked long, long ago. But this problem has been around for thousands of years and it's still here. So let's hear what does the Bible has to say about our problems. Where did it begin? Why are we where we are today? So in the book of Genesis, it says to us very clearly, in the beginning, when God created our world, there was no such thing as social problem. There was no problem then because everything that was created was very good. So everything was good until Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God's command. And that is where sin first came into our world. And as soon as sin came into our world, the Bible to us, we begin to see the first case of our social problem. And that is found in the Genesis a few chapters later, where we see Adam's first son, his name is Cain, murder his own younger brother Abel out of anger and jealousy. Isn't that something that we are still experiencing today? And then the Bible also said to us, since then, the world becomes more chaos, more violence, more divisions, and to a point that God was so sad, he has to send a flood to destroy the world. But he saved Noah and his family because of their righteousness. Unfortunately, the sins continue to spread through Adam. to his descendant, and today to all of us. And so that's why we continue to see the problems that since as early as in Genesis time, it's still around. And I would say it's so powerful, more powerful than COVID-19. Probably there's no vaccine on earth today can cure that disease. So all the social problems that we are seeing today, like racism, unequal treatments, we see LGBT oppressions, they are not something new or something that just happened yesterday. These problems exist long before us. But they are symptoms of one common problem. And this is the reason why the problems continue to exist. Because the root of the problem is not something out there, but inside us. It's not something external. It is internal before external. The Bible says it is the evil deeds that come from within. That's what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 15. He says this, there's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. It is within our heart that we created the world the way it is today. The heart of the problem is the problems of our hearts. So we created that problem. We are that problem. Until the heart is resolved, everyone's heart is resolved, we are going to continue to experience that problems in our life. And that is why Paul says, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory standard, and all need to make right with God by His grace, where it's a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. The one who created us, show us the way to perfect life. The one who made us, tell us this is the way to go. And He gave us commandment that this is how we should live for one another. This is how we should live for our life. But in reality, because of sins, everyone wants to be their own little God. Everybody wants to outdo God. Everybody wants to outdo one another. So when everyone just wants to outdo God and wants to be their little God, you can imagine the result, the outcome. You can understand now that this is why where we are today. When everyone wants to do what it seems right in their own eyes. As we were moving away from the plans of God, as we were moving away from the purpose of God, thank God that He never gave up on us. God hold on to us. God didn't just let us go and allow us to go for our own destruction. He hold on to us and He gave us a solution for those who seek Him by giving us a new desire and a new heart through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ Jesus is our hope. The gospel of Christ Jesus has become our hope for our present problem. Now you may ask, so how does the gospel become our hope? How does the gospel is our solution for present problem? First of all, through the gospel, we understand how God showed us how we ought to live our life for one another. And God has done it through His Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus becomes our model. So through Jesus, we learn what it means to live with one another according to God's purpose. You know, Jesus is God. We see how He humbled Himself, stepped into our world, and took the human form and gave us His life. So His demonstrations of His relationship with us help us to understand that this is God's desire of what we should live for one another. So Jesus' life with us and His life become a demonstration for us and show us and help us how we can imitate Him in our present life. Without Christ, we are lost because everyone is living their own life. But now with Jesus as our focus, we know this is the way to go. And so the gospel is our hope by showing through Jesus Christ. Secondly, the gospel is our hope because God transformed our hearts through His Holy Spirit. So when Jesus died and rose again, He didn't just give us eternal life. He came with a mission, and a mission to change our heart, through replacing our old heart with a new heart. And the Holy Spirit, as what we have learned a few weeks ago about the book of Acts, is to empower us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ, a heart that will seek to serve Him, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the gospel is our hope, that we have Christ to help us to live out the life that God has desired. And not just that, His Holy Spirit empowers us how to live out that life. And more importantly, He changes us so that He can change others. I almost quit my calling to serve in church quite some time ago. That was probably in my younger days. Because as I look at all the news and what I heard from news, what I saw from newspaper, what I heard from the news, and what I see from the news, there was too much pain and suffering in our world. You know, every day I'm hearing negative news. Children were abused. People were hungry for food in the third world country. How come nobody is helping them? What is the government doing? And what is the police doing? How come they are not helping our children? I see broken marriages, broken relationship, and I said to the Lord, the burden is too much for me to carry. I said, Lord, it's too much. I'm not sure, or I would say, you know, I can't do anything, you know, Lord. And I remember as I was praying one day, while I was doing something, busy with my own things. And so while I was doing something, then a man came to me. And the man looked at me. And I look at the man. Now, I look at the man, I know this man needs help. I look at the man, I know this man is a broken man. He's coming here for something. But I look at him, and he look at me. There's a Chinese songs, you know. 你看我看你, you know. Keep looking, you know. And we keep looking at each other. And I didn't do anything. But that day, the Lord taught me a lesson. First of all, of course, He said the burden is His. All right, I'm not meant to carry that burden. To change the world, that is God's burden. But the Lord taught me something very important. He said, the most important question is not how much I know or who I blame, but what did I do when I see my neighbor is in need? What did I do about it? What did I do with the person that's sitting beside me who is in need? Do I try to help the person? Or I will just, like the Good Samaritan story, and I walk away. You know, I think many people today, we are fighting for many things in the world. We try to fight our rights. We try to fight, you know, someone has to hold the responsibility for the wrong. But sometimes, the very needs they need from us, and we're not doing anything. But we are trying to help the world to become a better world. And so that was a precious lesson that I learned. The Lord said to me, yes, He's in the midst of changing the world, but that burden is His. But today, God wants me to help this very person. Am I willing to help? You know, Gary A. Hagen says, God does not call us to love a country, humanity and principles, projects or ideology. Instead, He called us to something as eminently doable as it is difficult, to love actual individual people made in His image. I think during Zechariah's time, probably the issues are very big. I don't think God is expecting the Israel, when they look at the problems, God is expecting them to solve all the problems. But I think the issues with the people during Zechariah's time is that They saw the need and someone is just beside them and they did not do anything about it. And so Zechariah says, obey God, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion to everyone. But what is execute true justice, show mercy and compassion to everyone? If you go to Oxford or some dictionary, right, they will explain as justice means fairness or to treat people equitably or punishing the wrongdoing. But the word justice for in the Bible or in the Hebrew translation is called mishpat. Follow after me, mishpat. All right? Mishpat, right? Do you see something different today? What do you notice today? I'm speaking Hebrew lah, no more Hokkien. Influenced by our dear pastor. But I notice our pastor now speak Hokkien than me, right? Right. Are we okay? All right, turn to your neighbor, don't smile, because anyway, cannot see your smile, but just bling bling, okay? Turn to your neighbor and give a good bling, all right? Yeah? Okay, so, in the Bible, the word mishpat, it means more than just punishing the wrongdoing, but giving people what they deserve, whether punishment or protection or care. So this is why you will often see in the Bible, the word justice always goes hand in hand with mercy and compassion. You will always see this, right? Justice and mercy comes hand in hand. For example, Psalms 82 verse 2 and 3 says, defend the people and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, free them from the hands of the wicked. There's a justice. There's also another side. They talk about mercy and compassion. And in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressors, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Again, we see justice and mercies work hand in hand. So when God asks us to do justice, it is more than just fighting for our own rights or punishing the oppressors or going like a policeman, all right, go and catch someone who is at fault. You realize that whenever the justice is mentioned, it's always also talking about protecting the weak as well. Look out for the weak and protect them. Look out for them and take care of them. Doing justice also means in our relationship with one another. When the Bible mentions doing justice, it also means our relationship with one another matters. We should treat others how we want to be treated. All right? You remember a story in a parable where a servant owed the king a large sum of money. And when he begged for the master for mercy, and the master's out of his kindness and mercy, he said to this servant, all that you owe me, I will forgive you. But then when this servant, who just received the forgiveness and mercy, when he met another servant who owed him much lesser money of what he owed to the king, when this servant asked for mercy, he said, you have to be put into jail and be punished until everything is paid off. So in this parable, Jesus is saying to us that we should treat others as how we would like God to treat us. And this is justice. So justice is involved in our relationship with one another. Justice is about how we like to be treated by God, and that should be the way how we treat one another. Finally, execute true justice or do justice also means obeying and practicing the Ten Commandments in our everyday relationship with others. So when God says do justice, He also means obey His commandment in our everyday relationship with others. Why? Because God is the lawgiver. God is the one who gives us the law and how to live. And his commandment is, love one another as how Christ has loved you. So whenever the justice is mentioned, it is more than just about like a policeman trying to catch someone. You will realize that it also involves a lot in our relationship with one another, especially helping the poor and the needy. And, you know, I was thinking, so what are some of the examples, okay, we can do justice today? What are some of the practical steps, all right? Especially maybe in our COVID situation, what is something that we can do justice, compassion, and mercy for the Lord? First of all, is to treat everyone fairly. For God does not show favoritism. Social justice is a big topic in US today. It is a very, very huge topic. And so there are many write-ups about social justice, right? But I'm not going to talk about it today on this part. And most of you probably have heard about George Floyd case in 2020. You remember the black guy who got killed, right? It was a very unfortunate case. It was a very tragic case that happened. But do you know that it was not unique in US? Why I say that? Because how many of us heard of Tony Timpa? We all never heard of him, right? We never heard of who is this guy, okay? He's, of course, an American. Same thing happened to him in 2016. Same thing. Whatever happened to George, happened the same thing to this guy, or worse than this guy's. The report says that he did not just die, he was humiliated because after he died, the police actually mocked at him and they were sort of like playing, you know, is he dead? And George, the police were arrested, but this group, the police were not arrested and charged. No one speak out for him. Why? Why George has such a big news? But for Tim Pa, there was no news about him. Why? Because he is white, or he was white. You got it? Because his story does not fit the political agenda. Oh, so that's the reason why he was not reported. But George's story fit the political agenda. That's why they push for it and it becomes such a big news to every one of us. But this is not how God wants us to treat one another. That we favor some over the others. How God expects us to treat one another is regardless of race, language, gender, status, rich or poor, religion. That we ought to serve one another equally. I'm almost, when I talk about the regardless of race, I was thinking about, wow, maybe I should say the national pledge. Get everybody stand up, you know. Let's say the national pledge together. Yeah. But I shouldn't say, oh, you know, today because Pastor Eunice is wearing orange, I like orange, so I want to be nice to her. Oh, Pastor Daniel is wearing pink shirt. I don't like pink shirt. Therefore, I don't want to be nice to her. This is not how God shows us or how God expects us to treat one another. We do not favor one over the others. We should treat each other equally. The church will be opened up very soon in a few weeks' time. I just want everyone to know, all right, whether you vaccine or you haven't vaccine, all of you are welcome in Coos. All of us, okay? I know there's this debate, all right? Should I vaccine? Should I not? And, you know, create some tension here and there. But I want to say to all of us, all right, in this place, okay, whether you vaccine, you're not vaccine, all right, you are welcome in this place. You are loved by all of us, yeah? So that's one of the practical way that how we can practice justice, compassion, and mercy. Secondly, you know, we can be nice, less critical towards one another, all right, but show more mercy towards one another. I don't know about Joseph Schooling, right? I felt so bad for him. After he lost the race, the heat, he received so many negative comments about he's too fat lah, you know. I felt for him because I was a sportsman. And I felt for him because I know that to be there, all right, it's not just about medals. You have to go through lots of training and suffering before you arrive. So only people who are in that level and have gone through that will understand, all right, that you appreciate the hard work more than the result. But if I've never gone through that, then all we see is, all we're interested in is only the outcome. And so we receive a lot of negative comments and critical comments about him. Yeah. So I really feel for him, all right? But thank God we have some people who are around who stand by him. And yeah, they supported him and, you know, put more good things to help him around. I have a friend, very interesting, in the Facebook he posted about his experience during quarantine. Just recently only. And he shared this, all right? First of all, he shared about what he did during the quarantine. And he did something very amazing, okay? Now, in the hotel room, right? You're quarantined, you're in the hotel room, and you know how small is a hotel room, right? And then he said, during my stay, I think the first day or second day, I ran 10 kilometers. You gotta say, I mean, the room is so small. But how did he run 10 kilometers within the day, right? So I thought this guy is really, very amazing, yeah? But of course, his purpose of putting out on Facebook is not to talk about his 10 kilometers run. He actually wanted to talk about something more. He wanted to talk about he was very frustrated. He was, because he was, I mean, when he was there, he had so many questions, and he was hoping that someone would come along and just guide him and tell him what to do. But everyone seems to be very busy. Now, until he saw some of the staff, actually, they went room by room to deliver the food. And then he also saw so many people, all right, crowded around the staff. Everybody wants the same, the same, you know, wanted their question to be answered like him, right? Until he saw that, then he said, you know, I need to change my attitude. Maybe I've been just too critical. And so after seeing all these things, then he said, you know, I really thank for all the nurse and all the staffs who were there helping out to ensure the organization can run properly. Yeah. But if not, he was full of criticism until he saw that. You know, so sometimes in life, we tend to be very quick to judge someone before understanding of what the person has gone through. Especially during COVID times, everybody is very tense, everybody very stressed, and it's very easy to just point our finger, you know, give you some solution and go and get it done. But maybe during this period of time as a church, maybe what we should do, that instead of be too quick to judge the person and to tell the person right or wrong, maybe the right thing to do is to level down ourselves to that person and try to understand what they are going through first before we pass any remark. The other way of us, how we can make a difference, all right, or, you know, during the COVID time, or how do we do justice and practice our mercy and compassion, is to speak out for the needy. We thank God we have one good example, True Love, who is helping people who struggle with same sex, all right, to let them know that they are not alone. And the purpose of the video is to just to tell them that, you know, they are loved and they are loved by God. And they are not judged, they are not condemned. And also we have Kus Connect, who are focusing in helping the poor in our midst, to let the church know that who are the people we can step in and come in or to help them. Maybe today, you know of someone that who has such a need. It could be someone from your CG, it could be someone from your neighbor, it could be someone not even from this church, but you know that person is in need today. Will you step up for that person? Will you do something to help the person? Or you will just see the person's need, like what I did in the earliest day, 你看我,我看你, would you do something to help the person? And I just want you to know that help that person. Let us know, whether it's financially or emotionally, you can always approach the church, and the church is willing to help them. Also, very importantly, during this, you know, as we get busy, all right, to help other people, it's very important that we also need to take care of our own family. I realize that in our Asian culture, or many of us, we tend to be nicer with the people outside than our people, own people at home. We tend to treat our colleague better. We tend to treat our bosses better. You know, like phone call, you know, I'm talking about sometimes, right, even myself, I can scolding my children. Then when my boss call, yes, Pastor Daniel, what can I do for you? You know, I can just change very quickly, all right? Yeah. I realize that in our Asian culture, we somehow, all right, there's this tendency that we treat people outside better than our own home members. So I give one example. This is not just to adults, but also to the youth as well. I remember I was born in this culture where my dad, right, praising every children. You know, whenever God, he'll praise these children, he'll praise their children. Every children is very good, lah, except me, lah. He praised them, but except me, lah, you know. So one day, I couldn't take it, lah, betahan, you know. So I asked my dad, you know, Dad, why you praise everyone, but not me? I think my dad's answer is very, very classic. He said this to me, all right. He said, you know, my son, the reason I don't praise you is for your good. Alamak, I couldn't understand. I cannot grab it, all right? He said, yeah, you know why? Because for your good. Because if I praise you too much, your head will become so big. And you become very, very proud. How many of us have gone through that before? All right? How many of us? You are never, lah. Yeah, well, you know, so, yeah, but I really need his attention. I really need his, you know, affirmation. But I'm saying this is to remind us, all right, families, I think many of us are going through a very, very hard time. And I just want to encourage us, all the family and those who are watching online, okay, do take care of your families. Do take care of your spouse. Do take care of your children. And children, do show, all right, gratitude. Do, you know, you have a role to play in the family as well. Not just your parents, but children, you also got a role to play. All right? So, of course, last but not least, how do we do justice? How do we show our compassion? How do we show our mercy? Is forgive one another. Forgive one another. I think that's whatever all the problems we are facing today, I think the solution that God has offered for us, however difficult it is, it might be very, very tough, but I believe, right, the day when we see the problems, you know, to become better, it's not to continue to fight our rights, insist our way, or who, you know, that we want this and we want that. I believe the world will become a better place when we all learn to forgive one another as how Christ has forgiven us. Show our mercy and our compassion. It is true. Without justice, you know, without justice done, there can be no restorations and reconciliation. It is true. But God showed us through a lady, the story of this lady by the name of Rachel, then Hollander, right, that the death of Jesus is the justice. Because of the work of Christ, because of what he has done for us, therefore, we can follow Paul's advice today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32, that says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So who is Rachel Den Hollander? Rachel Den Hollander was a gymnast helping in the U.S. Olympic team. She was probably an admin. But she was sexually assaulted repeatedly by her team, Dr. Larry Nassar, when she was still a teen. And not just only her. Along with her, there were 260 female victims that were the victims, all right, because of Dr. Larry. And so in 2016, Rachel finally filed a police report, and Nestor was convicted, and he was imprisoned, sentenced for 40 to 175 years. Basically, he stayed in the prison for the rest of his life. But it's interesting that during the trial, the judge gave Rachel the permission to speak directly to Nestor. And so this is what she said. She said, first, she reminded him how your selfishness, your perverted desire and wickedness has brought hurt and harm to many of us. But after that, she reminded him again that though what you have done, you receive your earthly judgment, but he will face another judgment from God where the wrath of God will pour upon him. That is more serious and more scary of what he's going through. And then she continued, should you ever reach the point of truly facing what you have done, the guilt will be crushing. And that is what makes the gospel of Christ so sweet, because it extends grace and hope and mercy where none should be found. And it will be there for you. And she did something miraculous. She offered Nestor her forgiveness. And this is her own words, and this is what she said. I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt, so you may someday experience true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend that to you as well. Now, this is a miracle. I wonder how she actually made that choice. But it's a tough decision, but she did it. She did it. But her action show us one very important truth. Her actions show us what it really means to do justice and show mercy under the shadow of cross. And I think this is only possible. Only God alone can do it. And I believe God is doing his work in our midst today. Even as we are going through challenges in our social problem. But God has not given up his people yet. But as people of God, who is redeemed by Christ, what does God require of us? That we must continue to obey the commandments, to show mercy and compassion, so that through our lives, through our action, the world may see the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to end with another story. Why do justice, obey the commandments of the Lord? Mercy and compassion is important in our today's world. Especially during our COVID times, during this season of our life. I'd like to read for us Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. I'd like to show us what does it mean to do justice? What does it mean to show mercy? What does it mean to show compassion? And we learn this action through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share with us before we end. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. When he had come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. When Jesus had come down, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hands and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now we all know what is it like of someone who's suffering from leprosy. I want us to imagine with me a little bit in order to appreciate this story of what does it mean to show mercy. In those days, the leper is not something good. They felt unworthy. So I believe when he called upon Jesus, he's not like, "Hey, Jesus, come and heal me." I don't think so. That is how he approached Jesus, you know. I believe he was probably kneeling, bowing his head down. It's like begging. It's like begging to Jesus. Jesus, can you do something to make my life better? Can you do something to change my life? I don't think he's expecting Jesus to say anything, but he's trying because he feels unworthy. But he just want to give a try. And when Jesus came down from mountain, I'm sure the disciples were, I'm sure he was probably busy doing many things. But he walked, and when this leper called upon his name, Jesus stopped. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, be healed, huh? Okay, bye-bye, next one, be healed, huh? Go. No. I think Jesus stopped. The Son of Man, the King of Kings, stopped for one man. And he looked at the eyes of this leper. He looked at him, and then he did something that in those days, the Jews would never do. Why? Because once you are suffering from leprosy disease, you will be under quarantine order. You'll be cut off from your family, you'll be cut off from your community. You know, basically, you are quite a lonely person. And there are two reasons that why they will not go near to them. First of all, the disease was contagious. Secondly, it was spiritual reason. This man considered as unclean. So the disciple will never go near him and touch him. They will probably try to stay away from this man. But Jesus did something. He looked into this man. He looked into his eyes. He walked to him and he touched him. Why Jesus touched this man? Why can't he just say, "Be healed, stand up, you're clean, go"? But Jesus chose to touch him. Because he says, "I did not come to the world to judge. I came to the world to save." But he touched him because he saw something the disciples could not see. Because of his mercy, because of his compassion. God is just, God is holy, but he's full of mercy and compassion. Because of his mercy and compassion, he saw something the disciples couldn't see. And what did he see when he looked at this man? He saw this man needs more than just physical healing. He saw a man with a broken heart. A man that is lonely. A man that's rejected. A man who needs love. He saw a man who needs his dignity and respect to be restored. The disciple couldn't see it. The disciple couldn't see it because first of all, they could not understand the pain of a leper. Or maybe they've forgotten what is it like to be rejected. So they could not identify with him. And more importantly, they couldn't see because their judgmental attitude blinded their eyes. They've forgotten what is it like to be shown mercy. But Jesus, though he's God, high from above, pure and holy, he doesn't see himself more superior than this leper. You know, sometimes we help people. We help people because we think we're more superior than them. Or I help you because, I'm better than them. That's not Jesus' attitude, right? When Jesus came down, he's not saying, "I'm more superior than you." No, actually Jesus bring himself down to his level to identify with him and to let him know, "I understand you. I know your pain. I am here." You know, very often we always think Jesus come down and save me. Oh yeah, but what does it really mean? When the Bible says Jesus came down from heaven to save you, he's not saying that, you know, just from some very high level superior tell you you're saved. No. Jesus actually came down and level himself with you to understand what you're going through. That's why Hebrews say he understands all our pain. And that is God's mercy, God's love and compassion for each one of us. And that is also that what God is expecting you and me that we should do for one another. We are not just going out there to help people, to show that we are more superior. The kind of help that Jesus requires of you and me is that we be like Him. Go into the broken world. Go to their level and to understand their pain. Because it's only when you truly understand their pain, it's only when you truly understand what they've been going through, it is only then they experience the presence of God and the love of God and the meaning of mercy and compassion through you and through me. You know, as I close today, our culture today is a culture of judgmental. Our culture is a culture of criticism, a culture of competitiveness, a culture of performance. I sense Singaporeans are very tired. We have all the material things. We have food, we have, you know, richness. But I felt many Singaporeans are very tired. Many Singaporeans are feeling very lonely. Many Singaporeans are struggling. Outwardly, they look very good. But inwardly, many of us are crying for God's help. I think mercy and compassion is much needed today in order to help people to know God better. If you see people through the eyes of God with compassion and mercy, you will be able to see what Jesus saw in the leopard. You know, there's a song, as I end here, the song Zhou Hua Jian. I wonder how many of us know Zhou Hua Jian. You know Zhou Hua Jian, put your hands. All right, okay. The rest of us don't listen to Chinese songs. Okay. There's a Chinese song by Zhou Hua Jian, right? I quite like it. The title of the song is called Peng Yu. And I love these songs. And I would like to end with these songs, all right? And this is how he sings, all right? Peng Yu, okay? All right.
朋友不曾孤单过，一生朋友你会懂，还有伤，还有痛，还要走，还有我。朋友一生一起走，那些日子不再有，一句话，一辈子。 一生情，一杯酒，朋友不曾孤单过，一生朋友你会痛，还有伤，还有痛，还要走，还有我。
Oh, thank you. I want to end with these songs. The meaning of these songs, in case you do not know Chinese. Talking about friendship. There are good times, there are bad times. And sometimes friends stay long, sometimes friends stay short. Sometimes friends don't see anymore. But the meaning of these songs, in the end, what it's saying is this: remember, you still have me. Remember, you still have me. You are not alone. So if that person today and those who are watching online, if you can identify your situation with the leper, I want to let you know, you are not alone. And this is what God is saying to you. And for the rest of us, as we end today, I want to encourage us. Look out to your neighbor. You never know, someone who is just beside you is asking you for help. When they ask you for help, would you do something for them? Let's stand and pray, shall we? Let's put our hands, you know, let's give thanks to God for His goodness. Let's give thanks to God for His kindness. Let's give thanks to God for friendship. Let's give thanks to God for His blessing. Lord, thank you for everything. I pray for my friends here, those who are watching online. Lord, I pray for those who needs your mercy today, who needs your compassion today. Lord, may they know they are not alone. And you are not a God who is far away from them. You are God who is willing to go down to our level to understand us. And when we share our problems with you, you understand. You understand. But for the rest of us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will go out today to make a difference for you. Because there are many out there, Lord, today, it's not the lack of physical food. They lack spiritual love. They lack acceptance. They lack loneliness. Lord, would you send us to be that person? Not just be there to help them, but to also to be like you. Go down to their level. Understand them. Seeing what you're going through. So that through our action, our mercy, our compassion for them, they may see you, your love, and your presence with us. So thank you, O God. And I pray a blessing over all of us. May the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the compassion of God be with us and upon us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. All right. Have a great weekend ahead. And National Day. Happy National Day to all of you. All right. God bless you. Yeah.